This series that Vanessa alluded to, I just want to speak into it just a little bit, and then we'll pick up with it in earnest next week, and unless this happens again next Saturday, which we're fine with, because this is Jesus's church, it's not ours, and so he we pray that every week, have your way, and so this series, I believe, is going to be. Dare I use the word historic? I think it's going to be an historic series in this church, not because it's clever or creative or insightful necessarily, but because I believe it's timely for our church and what God's calling us to and what God is calling us to for each other and with each other. And so we're taking this story of Nehemiah. And we started with it about 3 weeks ago, and then we've been on a summer break, a little bit of an extended break. I've listened to two of the messages, Pastor Justin's first message on rest, phenomenal, and then Pastor Matt from Mechanicsville Christian Center, a dear friend of ours, and what a great message. If you've not heard that one, both of them, you need to hear on Lodabar and Mephibosheth, and it was such a powerful message about hope for healing. And then I'm looking forward this week to listening to the last one that Pastor Justin delivered on this past Saturday. But 3 weeks before that, I introduced this series entitled Come Build With Me. And in looking at the story of Nehemiah, I want us to find together a filter that we're going to look through to see ourselves and to see what I believe, how God has positioned us as a church in the 757, in this community. Let me just talk about what I mean by a filter for a minute. Now, don't get nervous. I'm going to talk about politics, but I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm going to use it as an example. In political races, like the one that we're in now, the presidential election, right? Both sides, they want to create a narrative that you accept and embrace, because when you embrace that narrative, it becomes a filter that you look through to see things, to make judgments and decisions about what you're hearing. And there's nothing inherently wrong with narratives in and of themselves. The problem can be if the narrative contains falsities or if the narrative leaves out some truth, right? You understand, if you were a teenager like me, sometimes the way that you lied wasn't by saying things that weren't true, it was by not just telling the whole truth. You with me? None of our teenagers over here know anything about that. They're going, what was Pastor Fred talking about tonight? I don't know. And so, right, so narratives are dangerous when they contain falsity or they're not fully true. Scripture is a narrative that God has given to us that contains no falsity and is fully true. And one of the reasons why he's given us scripture is so that it can become the filter that we embrace. And we see through it to understand ourselves and the world around us. It's what we say, right, in maybe more of a fancy way. We talk about we have a biblical worldview. What we're really saying is I have embraced the narrative of Scripture to become the filter of my life. And through it and it alone, I understand everything about myself and the world around me. This is part of who we are as a church, is to introduce you to this idea of. One of the reasons why we encourage you, spend time reading this Bible for the rest of your life, because you need this filter. It also has a unique ability to displace other narratives that maybe you have held on to that it's time to let go of. It has a displacing effect. The story of Nehemiah is a powerful narrative for us to understand where we are, especially us as a church, the City Life Church, as God has uniquely positioned us, I believe, in our city. Because Nehemiah, as we talked about 3 weeks ago, was not born in Jerusalem, right? I never even thought of that until we did this study. He was actually born in captivity. Right, he wasn't one of the people that knew what it once was like to live at the height of Israel's prominence. No, his family was taken away in captivity. He was born into captivity, and so this passion that he has to see the promises of God that were prophesied over them as they were going away into exile through Jeremiah was that one day they would return and Israel would flourish again. That they would be there in captivity, but one day God would deliver them. Now, we're given the story of Nehemiah because God wants to give us the history, but we're also given the story of Nehemiah because God wants us to understand ourselves. Our spiritual parents, Adam and Eve, were swept away into captivity in the beginning of time. And each of us, have, like Nehemiah, have been born into captivity. And Jesus has made some promises to us. And those promises are about freedom and deliverance and about being rescued. And even though we've never known what Adam and Eve had, there's something inside of us, like in Nehemiah, that stirs to say and believe that we can take hold of it again. There is an Eden that's waiting for us this side of heaven in a relationship with God that some of you tasted of tonight for the very first time. Nehemiah, his passion was contagious. Other people caught it, right? You understand, rebuilding the wall that had fallen, rebuilding Jerusalem so that Israel could thrive again is a prophetic picture of the church, that we are called to rebuild the church, a place that people can come to so that they can know what it's like to be seen by their Creator, to rediscover and experience for themselves the promises of Christ about healing and wholeness and salvation and eternity. But above all, the most important one is this. It's this ache inside of us to be seen by our God. And every promise that Jesus gives, it's the one where it all begins. When you have this feeling, God sees me, He knows me. He loves me, He cares for me, He has a destiny for me, He has a plan and a purpose. It's one thing for someone to look at you, it's something else to be seen by them. You with me? And we want to be a church where people experience what it's like to be seen by their Creator. And in being seen by Him, there is a revelation of who Christ is, how He died on the cross for their sins, and how through a vow of devotion to Him, they can be born into the family of God and then joined this work of building the church. So there's always a place. Even after we are gone, even like Nehemiah, when our life comes to an end, there is another generation that has picked up the call to build the church that Jesus Himself would say that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We're saying to you, I'm asking you as the pastor of this church, will you come build with me? Would you dare to believe with me, as Nehemiah believed hundreds of years ago, that Jesus' promises, we can see them fulfilled in our city and in our lifetime. In our city and in our lifetime. And that conviction is going to be handed down to every one of those kids that just ran because they're excited about snacks and crafts. But one day, they're going to be excited to run out of those doors because they have a message that's shut up in their bones, that's there by the birthing of the Holy Spirit, that was inspired by the example of their parents. Generation after generation after generation after generation, our city in our lifetime. So we're going to keep saying it. I'm going to say it. We're going to be in this series through all of August. Will you come build with me? Church, every church has fans. We talked about it 3 weeks ago. That's a good thing. Jesus had fans. Every church has friends. Jesus had friends. Pastor Matt Houle, who preached, is a friend of this church. Cheryl, said that right, you who's here tonight, she's such a good friend, she's almost family here, right? But she's a friend of this church. There are people in this church, your family, because this is the church that you call home. But it's something else to be a builder. It's something else to be a builder. And by the end of this summer, we're asked, will you come build with me? So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And as they're coming, I'm going to invite you to stand. We just want to, with the time that we have remaining, you might find yourself back up the altar again, right? You might double dip at the altar tonight, dare I say. Jesus, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Holy Father. Father, I think about in that very first chapter of the book of Nehemiah, where a friend comes into the room and gives Nehemiah the report of what's happening to his sacred city, Jerusalem, even though he's never been there, even though he's never lived there, even though captivity is the only thing that he has ever known, that there was a promise that he carried. There was something that his parents and of that generation had taught him about what Jeremiah had said in chapter 29, that one day Israel would flourish again, that one day deliverance would come. Father, I pray that for you and I in this room, Father, that you would do for us what you did for Nehemiah, that you would put a burden in us to see the promises that Jesus has declared fulfilled in our city and in our lifetime. In the same way for Nehemiah, it moved him. It altered the course of his life, altered the course of our lives. Move us, change us, recommit us. Let it be that we would be willing to embrace this mantle of Nehemiah that I believe that you want to put on this church, that you want to put on all of us that call this our church home, that it's time for us to build, to see the promises of Christ, especially the promise of being seen by our Creator in our city, and in our lifetime. For every person that's outside of these walls that's been born into captivity, that this is going to be the year of their liberty, the time of their freedom, the day of their salvation, their first spiritual breath. In Jesus' name, come on, let's worship together.